I'm Daniel Centeno. You're listening to CGRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative. Toronto votes this October. In the lead-up to the 2022 municipal election, CGRU is reaching out to all candidates in the downtown wards. Today, Allison Pang speaks about her decision to run for Ward 11, University Rosedale. Pang is a lifelong Torontonian and wants to bring a vision for a better Toronto through affordability, livability, and community.
My name is Allison Pang, and I am a candidate in the upcoming elections for Toronto City Council in Ward 11, University Rosedale.
Great. And when did you make the decision to run for Ward 11?
I think I made the decision in July, but it's something that I've been thinking about for quite a while, like since before 2018. And I think the 2022 cycle presented an opportunity because so many of the incumbent councillors decided not to run. So I thought it would be a perfect opportunity to give it a go. And thinking about it from May until July, and then July, I decided download the form, get the signatures, and submit. So yeah, I did it quite late, submitted in the last week of before the deadline, but yeah.
Great. And in your opinion, what experiences do you believe prepared you for this campaign?
I think that I've grown up in Toronto. I've grown up very close, as in like experienced a lot in the ward. I went to school there. I spent a lot of time at the libraries in the ward, and am, you know, a community member. And I think that experience is first and foremost the most important, like having lived in the neighborhood. But in terms of, let's say, career or life experience, I bring my background and studies in like justice and equity. And I think it comes across in the campaign I'm trying to run.
All right, great. And in your opinion, if you were to be elected as city councillor, what voice do you bring to City Hall?
We need engagement in the community with City Hall. And a lot of people, it's so evident in sort of election turnout rates and the engagement. It's a small sort of population that gets the biggest platforms. And I would want to be the voice of those who don't necessarily engage.
You know, for Ward 11, and I think the former Ward 19, Mike Layden, he's been there quite a while. He's a trusted voice, a really well-known individual in the community. In your opinion, how do you think you could earn that voter's trust that's been so used to Mike for all these years?
I think it will be more difficult for me. Mike, of course, comes from a big sort of Toronto political family. And so his trust was earned by the reputations, you know, that of the people he was related to. And he's done a fantastic job in carving out sort of his own identity. And so for me, it will be more difficult, right? Like, I will work hard to speak for the constituents, to get things done, to like look to sort of being collaborative at City Hall.
Okay, great. So before I get into the specific questions about certain platform issues and concerns in Ward 11, I'd like to hear more about what you mentioned in the candidates forum. So your platform is focused on affordability, livability, and community. Mm-hmm.
Oh, so just to, I mean, I'll give a brief overview of that platform. And affordability, for the most part, because it's at like pretty central in everyone's minds, is housing. So I think that Toronto needs a transformative vision about how we treat housing in the city. Do we think that it is a commodity? Do we think it is a basic human right? What is our approach to it? And I mean, for myself, I think that affordability and shelter is something that we should strive to provide. And one of the big things that I see in or that I would love to see is to take ideas from other municipalities. The first thing that comes to mind is like shared ownership. So other cities have gotten involved in building properties and assisting people in buying them. So shared ownership being like this, the corporation might own 50%. The corporation as in like the structure of the program, mm-hmm. Might own 50%, and the person living in the unit would own 50%, and they share sort of the growth of the market, or so that if that person wanted to move out, both the city and the owner or the individual could benefit from the growth of the increase in the price of the unit. But it kind of allows people without the ability to buy $1 million home onto the property ladder. And that's like a supportive sort of way city council could go about ensuring that homes are affordable.
Okay.
Livability, it's everything to do with how to make people's lives in the city easier. So we're talking about transit. We're talking about like things like bike lanes. We're talking about the safety of like our communities. And so that's one of the primary focuses of the campaign as well. And lastly, it's community. And I think that I say that word quite a lot, but I do think it's central. Like I envision a Toronto where we have strong neighborhood organizations that are engaged with like community politics or like can represent interests to their representatives at City Hall. And I also think of public spaces, libraries, places for people to congregate, and these things that the city can provide to build the community within Toronto.
Mm-hmm. So going into the next ones for the platform questions, you already mentioned a little bit about affordable housing. Is there anything else you'd like to comment on there on if you were to be city councilor, what initiatives you'd like to spearhead, or what are some things you believe Ward 11 is lacking at the moment?
Yeah, like I only mentioned one part because I felt like I was going on a bit too long about it. Yeah. But I feel like it needs to be a multi-pronged approach. Like I understand not everybody wants to own a home. So how do we keep rents affordable? What initiatives can we have? We can talk about the supply side. Like how do we build more homes? How do we look at rezoning so that individuals can sort of repurpose their homes for multi-units in their home, and sort of have that discussion on many levels, right? So it's affordable housing, the protection of tenants in sort of rental units, and then also, like looking at the zoning parts, like the legislative parts.
Mm-hmm. So this next one is related to housing, but I'd like to know your thoughts on rebuilding trust in the shelter system and addressing tent encampments.
Our shelter system is, after COVID, I think that there is an issue of trust. In rebuilding it, I think it won't happen overnight. I think it'll take funding. I think it will take more resources. To make the shelter system supportive enough for anybody who does need help. Because I was reading this morning about how they're turning away dozens of people every single night in a year. And I think that like one of the things that we can do is reimagine sort of, like it all ties in together, right? The shelter system ties into affordable housing, which ties into like community. And so we can't just look at throwing more money at the issue because it is, you have to look at it holistically. But with respect to tent encampments, I think that we should not be criminalizing them. We shouldn't be forcefully clearing them because again, it's a symptom of a larger issue. So you're just displacing people because like tents might be an eyesore, or you know, I think that what we should do is really just address sort of the issues that are larger within the city.
Mm-hmm. All right, for my next one, I'd like to know your thoughts on addressing community safety and accessibility.
One of the big projects that the city has had, which is Vision Zero, is a great start to sort of having safer roads, having more pedestrian-friendly streets. But I was looking at the stats, and the only ones, it seems, I think, fact checked me on this, but it seems that it only looks at fatalities, right? And I think that when you talk to people who either live in downtown, live in North York, live in the outer suburbs, when you tell them, A, you're a cyclist, or you know, you're a road user, the first thing they'll say is, it's so dangerous, I hate driving downtown. And all those feelings don't, like, are representative of the experience of someone who walks, rides, drives downtown. I think that beyond just Vision Zero, you have to create streets that feel safe. So as a cyclist, I've never been in an accident, but I have been in dozens of near accidents. And so the idea is, what can we do? Is it about lowering speed limits? Is it about enforcement? Is it about incentivization of good driving habits? Like following, you know, like we do have like all these things in place that if followed would provide for safer streets. But I think that the problem is there are a lot of road users that that don't necessarily always follow sort of the rules and the guidelines that are on the books. But yeah, like that is something I've thought a lot about, and I don't know if they're beyond sort of public, what do you call them? Awareness, like drives, whether or not we can do something about them. So then we can talk about like the design of roads, how to encourage slower driving, or like separating cyclists from traffic, separating pedestrians from cyclists, and then also with the idea of like accessibility, how, like, what are our regulations with respect to sidewalks? Because even as an able-bodied person walking down the street, it's not easy. Like, I've busted my knee basically trying to get across King Street, and so yeah, I think it's a huge issue, and We do need to focus on it.
Great. For the next one, I'd like to know your plans for climate action.
Plans for climate action. I think that with regard to it, we need to act with the urgency that climate change demands. And I think we need to be transformative. I know that we have the Transform TO. But I think we need to do more. Like, talking about timelines decades away doesn't have that same urgency that we should be approaching things with. So it talks about sort of offsetting. And I think that what we should be talking about is reduction. How can we, instead of just being a net zero sort of emission city, how can we reduce, incentivize, even like like businesses and individuals to act in ways that that benefit the, or like act towards the goal of climate, not climate change, but like the reduction of sort of our emissions. And this, okay, so I think about food quite a lot. And one of these things was during COVID, like when things get delivered, there's so much sort of waste that comes with like a meal that you order out, right? Like, is there a program that we can bring in place that incentivizes reusable sort of containers? And I know this, like, it may seem like a small sort of thing, but I think that it would be a great show of how Toronto could be a community that works together to do these things for a common cause. So yeah, that's just like one tiny program that I would like love to see developed. But
For the next one, I'd like to know your thoughts on police reform.
My thoughts on police reform. So I think that there are issues that have been brought out and brought to the fore for most of us in the past few years, although in the affected communities, it's been shouted from the rooftops to less sort of, not very much, not for decades anyway. And I think that there are discussions that are ongoing with racialized communities that have felt like they've been over-policed. And I feel like beyond these consultations, there needs to be change in the police department. You can look at sort of the ways that an institution can be more aware about the impact of their presence in certain communities. And I was thinking, there has been discussion about, does having a police force that for the most part does not live in the communities that they have a presence in, so we're talking about the Toronto Police Service, where something like 3/4 of uniformed officers don't live in Toronto, and is that something that will impact how a community is policed if police officers are from those communities? And like, these are all discussions we need to have. There's not an easy answer, but we need to be open to changes, whether or not they're like completely radical.
For the next one, I'd like to know how we will address the rights and concerns of 2S LGBTQ plus individuals,
right,
and the community.
So this, I think that first and foremost, we have to understand the intersectionality of being of someone who comes from that community. Look at sort of all the city services and how they are provided to them, or how they marginalize the 2S LGBTQ plus community. So I'm thinking specifically, again, like since we just talked about police reform, looking at why is it that they're overrepresented in, especially amongst like incarcerated youth, looking at the system holistically again, with how Toronto like services can be provided and support marginalized youth and individuals of that community.
Mm-hmm. Right. For the last platform question, I'd like to know your thoughts on the strong mayor system, and as a city councilor, how will you hold the mayor accountable?
So with the strong mayor system, I think that we have to understand that it has not been brought about because it's good for Torontonians. It is there to provide sort of a veto and override for certain issues. And I mean, we can all have a guess at what issues that the mayor or the premier would want to see. And I think that that can be, depending on how it's wielded, we haven't seen a council when the mayor has used those powers yet, but I would be concerned about how collaborative city council is and whether or not that gets undermined because of the strong mayor system. And if there is evidence that the will of the city councilors with as representatives of their constituents is not being followed, then you have to be loud about it. You have to be firmly against it. Anything that sort of diminishes the role of voters and their will is not good for democracy. So, yeah.
All right, great. So I guess overall, in the lead up to the election, what would you like to say to voters?
I think first and foremost, vote. decide. Although I am going out to say, hey, vote for me, I think that first and foremost, decide who represents your views, who will work the hardest for you, and exercise that right, especially in the midst of, you know, a lot of sort of upheaval around the world about democracy. And I say, based on my platform, like, I will look to be transformative. I will look to be engaging. And if that's something that inspires or appeals to you, then think about checking my name next on the ballot.
Okay, great. And how can voters learn more about your campaign and your platform?
So I have a website, apeng.ca, but in reality, like, look, I'm running a small campaign. If you want to get in touch with me, you can email hello@apeng.ca.
Okay, great. Before we go, are there any other final thoughts you would like to add?
I'm very excited about sort of the next city council and excited to see sort of the results. And I hope that the council will be made up of forward-thinking, actors.
That was Allison Pang, candidate for Ward 11, University Rosedale. Toronto's election is scheduled for October 24th. I'm Daniel Centeno. You're listening to CGRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative.